This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey guys, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm really excited today. I'm here with Michelle Bushman as my guest, and I want to tell you a little bit about how Michelle and I connected. So when I moved to the Northern Virginia area, the very first thing that I did with the church that I currently am a member of was attend a women's dinner that they were hosting over the summer. We had just moved in. We closed on the house the end of May. It was the beginning of June, and the church was hosting a series over the summer. And so I went to this dinner. I sat at a table. I didn't know anybody. And Michelle was sitting at the table with me. And I noticed that she had on some really cool funky jewelry. And I love jewelry. So she was immediately a friend. And we talked about jewelry. Then I found out that we had a connection with Clemson, which is the university that I graduated from. And then I discovered that she was like my soul sister when it comes to our faith relationship with God, because honestly, we just struck up such a deep conversation so quickly. And I could really immediately tell that her relationship with God was not only very authentic, but very deep, and it was deep rooted. And when you meet somebody that you know has a deep rooted faith, I can guarantee you they have lived a lot of life. There have been some things that they have gone through that have caused them to get to know God really, really well. And now that I've gotten to know Michelle's story a little bit more, I understand why I sensed that from her that evening. And I just admire you so much, Michelle, as a person. Thank you so much for being here today with us for this podcast.
Well, thank you, Jessica. I'm very honored to be here.
Well, okay. I want to know how it started. Of course, I always want to know how it started. So tell us about Michelle, how your faith journey started.
Sure. So, Jessica, I was raised in a Christian home. My mom and dad were both believers, and I was raised going to church.
And where were you?
I was in Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Growing up. And I went to a vacation Bible school. And during that experience, I heard the plan of salvation. And I'd heard it many times. But what really made this different was that my Sunday school teacher, who was also my vacation Bible school teacher, sat me down and said, "You know, Michelle, tonight, if you died, where would you go, and why should you go to heaven?" And I realized, Jessica, I had never made a personal profession of faith. And what I mean by that is I believed in God, but I had not believed on God. And there's a very big difference. Even the demons believe in God and tremble. But it's very important to ask the Lord to be Lord and Savior of your life. And I think this is going to sound a little funny whenever I share this, but at the time I was 11 years old, and I thought, well, I don't want to die and go to hell. So fear was one of the drivers, but it really was a beautiful open door to me to realize that when I prayed the prayer that evening, I went home to my house and invited Jesus into my heart. That was the start of my eternal life and my forever relationship with my best friend, Jesus. Mm.
Do you remember the moment? Do you remember?
Oh, I do. Absolutely. I was sitting on the corner of my bed in my bedroom because I didn't feel comfortable praying with somebody at vacation Bible mm-hmm. school, but I knew I had to get home and I wanted to immediately talk to God about this because I knew that he was calling my name. Mm. And sometimes, you know, you have these little senses about just various different things in your life, but whenever the Holy Spirit is calling you, it's unmistakable that you're not going to run away from this calling in your life. And right. I remember 11 years old, just bowing my head and saying, you know, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I need you to be, you know, in charge of my life. Please show me what to do. Mm-hmm. And I want you to lead me in all my decisions, because I know that you died on a cross for my sins and you overcame death. You rose again. And it was not anything very elaborate. It was something like that.
Right.
But that instant, it was just Well, let me say this. Whenever I went to get baptized a few weeks later, the church, you had to go forward and shake hands with people at the church. This elderly man came up and shook my hand and he says, "Young lady, that's the best decision you will ever make." Mm. And I remember this man saying that to me and I thought, yes, it was. It was the best decision I ever made.
Hmm. And I really gather that it really was a decision, because it sounds like this person spoke to you while you were at your church during Vacation Bible School, but then you really thought about it. Like you, it was a decision. Once you sat down on the corner of your bed and you prayed that prayer, you were actually making a decision saying, I'm going to do this and it's for real for me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I was the kind of kid that once I made that decision, I was going to do whatever I could to make it bigger and better in my life. Mm. And what I mean by that is I had at the time a very easy to read Bible my parents had given me for Christmas. And I would read a chapter or more every night. Mm. And I did this for several years, just reading through the Bible over and over again, because every time I read, I learned something new and different about mm-hmm. God, about what he wanted for my life. So mm-hmm. it was definitely a decision, and a decision to live my life in a way that mm-hmm. that honored him.
Yeah.
And let me say, I didn't immediately become sin free. Oh goodness no. I made plenty right. of mistakes and lots yeah. of sin to be forgiven for.
Yeah.
But the greatest thing was I knew that God had said that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can take us out of Jesus's right. hand.
Yeah. One thing. Okay. So you mentioned just a minute ago, something about running from him or whatever. You can't run from him. And I want to say, based on my own story, I have tried many times to run from him. And I think the thing is, you can run from him, but the conflict that you have within your soul when you do is suffocating at times. And so and then maybe you do it for so long you get really numb to it as well, you know. So just pointing that out, because some sure. people might, you know, might have had that experience, have had the experience of, you know, turning from God and either feeling kind of like you're suffocating, or they're why aren't things at peace in my life, you know, and the question obviously kind of persist, well, are you running away from God? Are you running to God? You know? And then the second is really, again, you know, folks that might feel numbed out a little bit and like, oh, it really doesn't matter that I don't have a relationship with God, because my life, you know, I'm completely numb to the fact that that even matters. And that's another kind of coping that we have spiritually, to just be numb to it, I suppose. And I love that when you were 11 years old, it's, you know, that's how God works. He just wakes up that sleepy soul, right? And he just opens the eyes and suddenly you're alive forever. It's just so amazing. All right, so this happened when you were 11, and it sounds like you immediately started different types of practices of reading and learning and growing and those kinds of things. Which is really neat. I'm sure that, you know, was a foundation that you could live off of later in your life. So tell me about, what came next for you that really helped you along in your relationship with God.
Absolutely. So one of the things, Jessica, we have in common is you're a Clemson Tiger and I'm an Auburn Tiger. So when I went to college, I went... And I'm going to be brutally honest, I went to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to get a degree, but alongside, I was going to have some fun. And you're right, you can run from God, but he will hotly pursue you. Mm. He will continue, like, you'll turn on the radio, there will be a song, you'll meet somebody in the hallway, and that person's a believer. I mean, he just continuously uses his people, the body of believers to, mm-hmm. to reach back out to you. And so I went to college and I got involved in a church and at the Baptist Student Union, but that wasn't my first love. I was very interested in having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And so through my freshman year, the Lord just kept beckoning me and beckoning me to do something which I had never done, which was to join a small group Bible study. So I was in a group my sophomore year with three young ladies. And so it was an intense Bible study. It was magnificent. We memorized scripture. Really, God came even more alive to me. But what I didn't realize is through that experience, the Lord was not only discipling me and teaching me about himself, but he was preparing me for what was going to happen next in my life. And I see that pattern in my life, like something will happen and I'll think, well, why in the world did this particular thing, like, you know, a car accident? And then you say, oh, well, then later I know what to do if I'm ever rear-ended again, you know? So in this particular time of studying God's word, the Lord just taught me over and over again the necessity to pray, to call upon, you know, fellow Christians to have fellowship, to say no to some decisions that I had previously said yes to, and just to really make Christ the foundation of my life. And so that was a lot of, well, that was predominantly my sophomore year, and it was a lot of my junior year. And I even landed the opportunity to lead a Bible study in my junior year. So God grew me up spiritually, and he let me see how he was preparing me for things to come in my life.
It sounds like you went into kind of a spiritually rich time. You know, sometimes I think about, you know, seasons in life, and when we have seasons of growth, and you'll go through, you know, the summer, for example, and then the fall comes and suddenly things start to shrivel up a little bit, and then the winter comes and you realize, man, I'm glad that my roots kind of dug deep during that growth season in the spring and summer before this new season has hit in my life. So why don't you tell us about that season?
Absolutely. So I had gone, my junior year, I had gone to a church retreat, had come home, and I just felt something very heavy on my heart that the night that I returned from this beach retreat with my church family that I had there at Auburn University. And the next morning, I had the worst news of my life. Someone had told me, well, I had gone back to my dormitory. Someone called me and said, you need to come back. That there's been something terrible. You need to call your mom. I called my mom, and my mom then relayed to me that my father had been murdered in a robbery. Well, I was just first in shock. I mean, who has that happen? And secondly, I mean, I was 21 years old. I had no idea something like this could happen to just what I'll call an average family in America. But the Lord really awakened in me the fact that every time I listen to the news, or I watch the news, or even if I drive by a cemetery now and I see people who are laying to rest a loved one, that things happen to families. Bad things can happen to good people. And God used all of this Bible training and this time of prayer to prepare me to make the decision to be what I will call 100% sold out. My mom would have called it a Jesus freak, but it really, Jessica, was that I was not going to become bitter about losing my dad, but I would become better. And I wanted to tell anybody who would dare to talk to me, someone in line at Walmart, someone in a class, at my jobs, wherever I was, I wanted to tell people about Jesus. Because what had happened was, you know, I knew that God had allowed something to happen to my family, but he didn't cause something bad to happen. And it really made me aware of Satan and evil and how there's another force on this earth. And, you know, up to that point, I really hadn't experienced.
Reckoned with that.
Not at all. So that was my first, like, abrupt meeting the fact that there is evil in this world.
Lots of evil, right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. And I'm so sorry about the loss of your father in such a tragic way. And I honestly cannot imagine getting a phone call like that as a 21-year-old in college. And I'm wondering, you just kind of explained to us that this very tragic thing happened in your life that, of course, you know, knocked you on your knees. And then the kind of the long-term outcome of that was that you just face, you learned that evil was real here in our midst, and that it was a result of evil that your dad had, his life had been taken so early. And instead of being bitter or mad about that, you said, I'm going to be better, not bitter, right?
Right.
I heard you say that. And also, it sounds like I kind of hear you saying, you're saying, I'm not going to let evil win. I want to pursue victory. I want to pursue hope. I want to pursue light in this world, not the evil in this world. And you wanted to, you said you became a Jesus freak, that this was just basically like, now I'm just all in because this is my hope. This is my light. This is the opposite of what happened to my dad. And that's what I want for my life.
Absolutely. And I knew my father was a believer. And so I'm positive he's in heaven. I'm positive there's going to be a heavenly reunion. Mm-hmm. And whenever you have that hope, you don't mourn like the world mourns. You know that there's going to be a reunion, and you can use something that's really bad for good. Mm-hmm. And I think Romans 8:28, talking about, you know, God can use all things for good. Well, the Lord used a terribly tragic time, a dark time in my life, to really get my attention and to honestly pivot me, turn me, so that I would make decisions for the rest of my life. I got involved, let me share a couple of things. I got involved with a Christian Bible study about finances. I had an accounting degree, but I learned what the Bible had to say about finances. And so I got involved teaching that. And so the Lord taught me a lot of different areas and used me to be willing to be in, mm-hmm. in many different kinds of ministry, world missions, just to do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes God does really radical things to get our attention. And we think, how will I ever get over it? And the answer is, you won't. Mm-hmm. You will have a grief journey. You'll have a life journey. And it's going to be part of my story until I see my dad again.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think even the fact that you can speak openly about your father being murdered is something that I'm sure took a while. Actually, that is one of my curiosities right now, if you don't mind me going back and asking. I'm just curious, between the initial call and the shock of this news, and then your journey of kind of going into the pit after that, and then coming out of that pit and moving forward in your life in a way that was not, where the grief was not sucking the life out of you, you know, how long would you say that took? She's rolling her eyes right now, guys.
Well,
if you could see her.
So Jessica, I'm still going through it to some degree, decades.
Yeah.
The hardest thing whenever you have a very, what I'll call an unusual circumstance that not everybody can say, oh, I had that happen too. If you share this, people don't know what to say back to you.
Yeah.
And the most abrupt thing that happened to me at 21 is, people either gravitated to me and just enveloped me with love and hugs and prayers and really befriended me. And then I had a group of people that walked away from me. And that was just devastating.
They didn't know how to handle it.
They didn't know what to say back.
Yeah.
And so I have been very cautious, especially I'd say from 21 to about 34, 35. I was very careful on sharing what I'd been through, because people really don't know what to say. You know, I've had friends who have lost children. I've had friends who have had, you know, tragedy in other ways. And it's hard to know how to respond other than just simply saying, hey, I'm so sorry you went through that. I mean, just something very simple is really the most comforting and the nicest, because words are inadequate. There's not going to be anything anyone can ever say to bring my dad back or to really relate to me, unless even if they've had a similar experience, it's not exact. So I think the thing I would say to anyone listening today is, if they have someone who's had a tragedy, whatever it might be, is to not run away from that person. Mm-hmm. That person needs a loving, kind friend, and to not be afraid that maybe that person might even cry while they're with you, or they may have a moment, and that's okay.
Right.
You are in their life to be a hug, the That's arms right. of Jesus.
To say, I'm here.
Yes,
right?
You I'm
don't,
here for you.
I'm here and I'm so sorry that you're hurting. And you don't have to say anything else.
That's right.
You don't have to have advice or give wisdom or anything like that, because it's a journey. It's a process that you have to go through when you grieve. So it sounds to me that it obviously you're always kind of wading through those waters, and in fact you just actually kind of calculated somewhere between 21 to 35 where you were pretty private about the fact that this had happened in your life, but
yes.
somewhere in there you found a spirit of hope and encouragement to move forward in a positive way, like you said, better not bitter. Somewhere along the way you kind of took that course of action. And that's what led you through the next season in your life, I'm sure. So, okay, thank you for sharing that. And I'm so thankful that we get to see how God was with you, in that, and how he continued to be an anchor for you through that storm. So tell us what happens next in the life of Michelle, let me say, Michelle, not necessarily just like, what's the account of Michelle's life? But what are other times when you've really experienced God, or that you've learned about who God is? You know, is there another time, whether it's experience or if you'd like to share something with us just about what you've learned about God along the way and who he is? Because I know he's obviously, after walking through that, you got to really get to know him pretty well, you know?
Absolutely. Well, like everybody, I've lived a lot of life and a lot of things. You start off with a plan, and it's God's purpose that prevails in the end. And I will share just a couple of things that come quickly to my mind. One of the passages of scripture that has been like my foundation that I say all the time, regardless of whether it's a problem at work or a challenge with a child or just my challenge with my own well-being, mm-hmm. and what I'm thinking in my head, is Psalm 37. And I think of verses 1-9, and I think about, you know, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and your vindication like the noonday sun. And I'm going to stop there at verse 6, just simply to say, a lot of times I would find myself, Jessica, wondering, now what? Why me? Oh my goodness, I've been through so much. What next? And I recently had a moment with God I'd like to share. Mm. I have an adopted...
I love for people to tell me moments with God.
Oh, moments with God.
I want to know. Yes. Tell me about the moment with God.
Yes. I have an adopted child, and he's a young man now. And he has ADD and a few challenges that make him... all that in a bag of chips. And so I have two other children, and I have plenty of parenting stories, like, you know, anybody who parents. But with this particular child, I had really found myself just weary. I thought, Lord, we've been through so much and wonderful things. I mean, miraculous things, seeing God overcome things for this child that I thought, wow, I didn't think that was going to happen. And I knew it was all God. But I was, honestly, on this particular day, I was sitting in a movie theater watching something, and I heard the Lord almost audibly. It wasn't audibly, but it was almost audibly. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, about this particular child. And God said, you know, you've done some nice things. You've given him a home and loved him and helped him through school and sports and activities. But I didn't just give you to help him accomplish these things. I instead have given him to you so that you would learn more about me. This child was orphaned, and you took him in just like I took you in, Michelle, just like I have loved you. And even when you have your ugly moments, Michelle, and you have plenty of them, I can forgive you and love you and move on. And I just burst into tears because I realized God was telling me something about myself that I really needed to hear was that we think it's all about a particular thing, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the end of the experience and you say, oh, God was using that to teach me right. something that I didn't even realize I needed to learn.
Yes, it actually reminds me of Isaiah 55, which I read in a podcast a few episodes ago. I'm going to pull it up. You guys are going to have to bear with me for a second. I'm pulling it up right now because I don't have it memorized. I read it enough. I should have it memorized. but it says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I think this really relates to your adoption story and what God is recently revealing to you of the fact that this is, he's saying to you, Michelle, this is going to accomplish that which I purpose and it will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And so God sent your son to you just as much as he sent you to your son.
And God uses these things to show us that he's an overcomer. And one of the things that I have been claiming lately in my life, I've had a few challenges in the workplace, and that is Psalm 34:19, a righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Mm. And I think about that. And, you know, I would say to anyone out there going through something and they haven't seen yet the purpose for what they are suffering, faith is going through experiences, trials of many kind to develop perseverance. That's what it says in James 1. Mm-hmm. And it's like working out, building body muscle, right? You have to go to the gym and lift those weights. And to build your faith, you have to have the testing of your faith. And it says in James 1, because we know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And it's not very fun whenever you're going through mm-hmm. trials of many kind, but God says that he will deliver a righteous man from them all. And right. that's critical to just keep your heart focused on the scripture.
It is. And also, guess what? The people who don't turn to God also go through trials.
They do.
So I would much rather yes. go through trials with God Amen. Than not with God. I'm curious with all, I mean, obviously, that we're scratching the surface of all of Michelle's experiences today, but what big picture, Michelle, I'd love to know, what is it about God? Like, what you've been walking with God since you were 11 years old, and since you were 21, you've been in this deep relationship, like of really connecting with God. And I'm wondering what pops out to you as God's characteristics when you want to describe who he is and what he's like, what do you think of?
Well, Jessica, a couple things quickly come to my mind, that he will never leave me or forsake me. And even in my moments where I have been just ugly beyond words or scared beyond words, I know that I am never alone and that God is right there with me. And there's a scripture, again, that comes to my mind, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And I sometimes basically can shout that scripture and say, okay, God, I need to see you really fast. Mm-hmm. I need to see you now. And I would say that, you know, he's never going to leave or forsake, no matter what I say or do, no matter how awful my sin is or how often I sin, that you cannot push away God. God is authentic, and I need to be authentic with him. Mm. There is nothing I can say that's going to scare God away. He can handle the worst of my worst. And so, you know, Jessica, I do pray. And sometimes the things I say to God, I think, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that just came off my lips. but he needs to know.
I love that though. It's vulnerable, right?
He needs to know that I am, after all of these years and all of the miracles he's shown me, little miracles, big miracles, I am still having a moment of doubt. Mm-hmm. And I'm really disappointed in myself, or I'm really disappointed that a certain situation didn't work out the way I prayed, or I'm really sad that I've lost a friend. You know, God can handle that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things. God is bigger than anything we can throw at him. And I don't think we often remember that he is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He knows what's coming. And just like whenever he prepared me at 21 for what was coming, I had no idea mm-hmm. that I was going to go through the things I've gone through. And I would say too, Jessica, to anyone out there who says, you know what, I don't know if I believe. Mm-hmm. I just really don't even know if I can relate to you. Yeah, I was
going to ask you, like, what would you say to a person like that?
Yeah, I would tell them, do not be afraid to pray this prayer and just simply say, hey, God, I'm really not sure you're there, so why don't you show yourself to me? And just say it, just like that. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe that if you are sitting there with a Bible and sit and just honestly open it up, flip it around, there are going to be messages that you find that God sends to you. But you don't even necessarily have to have a Bible when you pray that prayer. You can just simply say, Lord, I need you to show yourself to me. Mm-hmm. And he will faithfully do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's because he wants you to see him.
Right.
So you're lining up with what he wants too. You both want the same thing, you know? God, show yourself to me. He wants to show himself to you. So
he does.
He will find a way to open your eyes and to show you who he is. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us today, Michelle, and for I love seeing how God has been so near and just rooted in your life through whatever you've gone through, and how he's continued to reveal himself in these ways that are so evident, right? And thank you so much for sharing us about that.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.